We will now read from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18 as the context for our sermon today. John 20, the empty tomb, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been moved away from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started to the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon and Peter came along behind him and went straight to the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. I think that's more to the verses. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. One of them, oh, I can't see it from so far away. Sorry, I'm just going to look in front of me. Okay, I'm just going to go again. Verse 12, and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciple with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Now I'd like to invite Reverend Winston to preach on the message today entitled "Christ is Risen." Reverend Winston.
Thank you, Michelle, and hi everyone. Welcome to church on Easter Sunday, especially if you're new to our church. Great, you could join us whether you're on Zoom or in the chapel. Let me encourage you to have your Bible open or your Bible apps open, John chapter 20. And we're going to have a look at part of this story. Let's pray. Father, we just commit our time to you now. We thank you, Lord, for the great, great act of Jesus' resurrection. It is the crux of our faith. And we just pray, God, that you would open our hearts to see what you have done for us, to fill us with the hope that comes from it, Lord. And please, God, for anyone in this listening in, watching in, either in chapel or Zoom, who's still trying to work things out, Lord, speak to them, Lord. Give them your spirit that they might put their trust and hope in Jesus this morning. We pray in his name. Amen. Okay, so what I'm going to do is ask you guys a question that I want you to spend a little bit of time, 30 seconds, to chat amongst yourselves and see how you will answer this. I might grab Pastor Dan. I think he's going to help me with this in the chapel. I want you to chat amongst yourselves and finish this sentence. If not for COVID last year, I would have finished that. What would you have done instead if not for COVID last year? If not for COVID last year, I would have dot, dot, dot. How would you finish that sentence? Give you 30 seconds, and then Pastor Dan's going to relay some of the answers back into Zoom land.
I mean, you can if you want. Now? All righty, friends. Let's see what answers that we've had. Would anyone like to shout out what they would have done if not for COVID? Anybody? Let's start with Toby. Toby. Gone overseas. Okay, an easy generic one. I like it. Half point. All right. I see Dean. Dino, what would you have done if not for COVID? You would have gone to Universal Studios to see Star Wars stuff? Oh, Singapore Universal Studios. Oh, that would be awesome. I don't think I've been to that. What else? Where or what would people have done if not for COVID? That's right. I'm looking at you, Jeremy. Come on, give us your best.
David said you would have got married.
Oh, wow. Do we need to have a chat afterwards? No, I'm kidding. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Okay, awesome. That's great to hear, David. Is there anyone on the line that wanted to share? No, I'm getting a head nod from Winston. Oh, Victor, one more. Victor, what would you have done instead of COVID? Maybe. Probably would have been at physical church. Oh, that's the right answer we're looking for. All right, sermon's over. We can go home now. All righty. Back to you, Reverend Winston.
Thanks, John. Thanks for your input. In many ways, the pandemic has marked these three words. I had hoped, and I'm hearing these answers, I had hoped for more travel overseas. I'd hope to have more time with friends. Louisa on chat said I'd hoped to not gain 3 kilograms, eat less. In many ways, the pandemic has marked those three words in our life. Hey, I had hoped for more, to go to more celebrations and to hang out with friends more. Our relationships have been more broken than usual, I had hoped. Now things are looking more hopeful for us now here, at least in Australia. But in many ways, last year, the past 12, 13 months, have had many feelings of disappointment because things that we'd hoped for, we didn't get to do. And certainly we didn't get to do many of those things as much as we wanted to. But those three words, I had hoped, they're words which we carry all through our life, don't we? From an early age, we start saying, well, I'd hope this, I'd hope that. And as we get older, the more acute those three words become for us, don't they? I'd hoped that my life wouldn't have turned out the way that it has. I'd hope that perhaps I would marry by now. I'd hope that my marriage would be better. I'd hoped for kids. I'd hoped for a better job, a better career. I'd hoped for more pay, more money. I'd hoped for more time to do the things that I love. We have all these hopes in our life, and those three words we carry with us the whole of our life, I had hoped. And of course, death is the great hope killer, isn't it? And that's why our life has been so disrupted these past 13 to 14 months. We are trying to protect people from the great hope killer. That's why we've had all these lockdowns, the homeschooling, the quarantining, the social distancing, the masks, because we didn't want death to hit us. But of course, you can't stop death, can you? You can only delay death. And that's what the government has been trying to help us to do, to prevent us from prematurely dying from COVID. Death is the great hope killer. And what we do in our society most of the time is that we distract ourselves from death. We busy ourselves so we don't have to think about death. And when we are confronted with death, at a funeral, for instance, we say things like, well, they've gone to a better place. But how do we know that? How do we know that that isn't just wishful thinking? So that's our question for today. Where can we find the foundation in our life where there is true hope? Because we all need hope, don't we? Last night, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who called me out of the blue and said, "Winnow, look, can you come out and meet me? I really need to talk." And so I drove out half an hour away and I spent the night with him and we chatted. He shared how he had really messed up his whole life and he was carrying all this guilt and shame and regret. My friend really needed to have hope in his life. And maybe you have a lot of regret in your life as well. As you look back, you had hoped for so much more. Well, where can we find true hope in our life? And this is what Easter Sunday is all about. The hope that God has given to the world through Jesus, through the risen Lord Jesus who died and conquered death. He rose from the dead. He is the hope of the world. But let's have a look at the very first Easter Sunday, because at first, it wasn't looking too good. I mean, think about the disciples back on Good Friday and just before that. The hopes of Jesus' disciples that looked dead and buried. And it's because they'd watched their master, their Lord, their teacher, who they'd put all their hopes in. They watched him get arrested and scourged and nailed to a Roman cross. They watched him suffer and die and then be buried. And with him, their hopes were buried as well. And one of my favorite encounters in the Easter story is the story of Mary, Mary Magdalene in John 20. And we're going to focus our attention on her encounter with Jesus this morning. And this is what we're told. Have a look, verse 1, first of all. It says there, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So we see the setting there. The setting is early, dark, and that darkness mirrors the setting in her own heart. There's darkness on the outside, but there's darkness in her heart as well. But the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. And how does she feel about that? Well, come down with me to verse 11. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She's crying. She's weeping because her Savior, the one she had put her hopes in, had died. Now, who was Mary Magdalene? Well, she was one of the people who had been following Jesus around for a few years, along with the other disciples. But prior to that, she was a woman, we're told, who had seven evil spirits in her. And Jesus met her and Jesus drove out those seven evil spirits. Her life before meeting Jesus was a life of darkness and despair, of shame and oppression. She was enslaved. But then she met Jesus and light flooded into her darkness. She was shown grace and mercy and love. And she was included amongst Jesus' closest disciples. And she traveled with him and she saw him do incredible things. He would give sight to the blind. He would heal the paralytic. He would heal the lepers. He raised this dead girl from the grave, and he raised Lazarus, a man, from the grave. He taught like no one had ever taught before, offering God's grace and mercy to sinners. He defended the defenseless. He gave hope to the hopeless. And she, Mary, she put all of her hopes in Jesus. But then he died. And so she stands at the tomb, weeping, crying. And we're told in verse 11, have a look there. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus's body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they ask her in verse 13, "Woman, why are you crying?" Now, to the angels, there is nothing more inconceivable than crying at the tomb of Jesus. This is the day of life and hope. Death has been defeated. Forgiveness has been paid for, and it's offered to the world. Why, Mary, are you weeping? Did you not hear? Did you not remember what Jesus said? He said he must die at the hands of the Pharisees, and on the third day he would rise from the dead. Did you not hear? Did you not remember? But she is so overwhelmed. She feels so hopeless when she saw what happened to her master. She is overcome by grief. She's unable to see beyond. "Why are you crying?" And then she answers, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." She's saying, this is too much. This is the final indignity. It wasn't enough that they put my master, who was this innocent, godly, loving man, they put him on a false trial, and they mocked him, they beat him, they scourged him, they forced him to carry his own cross. Then they stripped him naked, then they nailed him to the cross, and they hung him up to be mocked by the world. And if that wasn't enough, after he died and was buried, they stole his body. "Where is my master?" She is consumed by her grief. But then she notices someone behind her. Verse 14. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." She's like, please tell me where he is that I might anoint his body with spices. She had gone to the tomb to do that, but she is so consumed by her grief. Her hopes have been dashed. She's broken and lost. And Jesus takes it all away and says, "Mary, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And that question echoes down all through the ages to us today. Jesus is asking us the same question today. Who are you looking for? Jesus knows that we all need hope. We're all searching for true hope, to find a foundation in our life where we can truly put our hope in, where we do have meaning and significance and purpose and satisfaction. And he says to us, if you are looking for hope somewhere else apart from him, well, then you will be disappointed. Who are you looking for? And our hearts are constantly searching and restless, looking for hope. And we won't find it. Truly find true hope until we rest in Jesus. Who are you looking for? Mary asked him, "Sir, where have they laid the body?" And then we come to the punchline. The punchline is just one word, one beautiful word that remakes Mary's life, just told so simply. Jesus says to her, "Mary." One word remakes her whole world and gives her hope. A person's name is the most precious word that we can hear in our lives, isn't it? Mary first heard the word from Jesus when he called her out of darkness and drove out the evil spirits. It's that word that signifies to her, friendship and grace and mercy, and I accept you, I love you, you belong to me, I value you. And Mary, here is hope. And Jesus is calling you by name today. Who are you looking for? And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You are my sheep, and I know each of my sheep by name. He's calling you this morning. My name is Winston. It's the name that my mom and dad gave me. They said, you will be called Winston, and you belong to us. You are important to us. You are valuable to us. You are greatly loved by us, and we will give you the name Winston. And Jesus comes to Mary, and he says to her, Mary. And there are the words of grace and love. She knows that whatever has happened in her past, she has been washed clean. All of her sins and guilt and shame has been washed away, and she belongs with Jesus. And that's what Jesus is saying to you today. He's calling you by name. He's offering you what Mary had, an identity, a place, a worth, a value in God's eyes. You're forgiven through the blood of Jesus. You're no longer an enemy. You come and put your trust in Jesus. You become his friend. You become a child of God. And so she turned towards Jesus and she cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Her whole world is remade. She falls on him with this ecstatic joy and excitement. Who are you looking for? If the past 30 months or so has taught us anything, it's that our life is uncertain. We are not in control. Life is short and we are frail. And we need Jesus. And hopefully you've seen this past 12, 13 months that we need hope. We can relate with those three words. I had hoped that things would have been better in so many ways. And not just this past 30 months, but perhaps just in general in your life, you can identify with those three words. I had hoped. I'd hoped for more in my life. Perhaps your life is filled, like my friend last night, filled with regrets and shame and failures, dreams that have been dashed. You thought your life could have been so much better. Well, Mary's story can be your story. Jesus is calling your name. Her hopes were dead and buried, devastated. She saw Jesus. Jesus called her by name. Jesus was alive, and there is hope. God is here. Where is true hope found? And Jesus says, here I am, and I am calling your name. I've risen from the grave. I'm alive. I've conquered sin. I've defeated death. I am the hope for this whole world. And Jesus says to you, you can put your hope in me. Now, why can we put our hope in Jesus? Because he is risen. He is alive. Mary saw that Jesus was not still lying. She was expecting Jesus to be still lying in the tomb, dead. She was going to anoint him with spices. But yet, here he is alive. And he calls her by name. So often we humans, we put our hopes on things that we try to control. You know, our achievements, our wealth, our relationships, our circumstances, our possessions. But so often those things let us down. They don't satisfy us as much as we thought they would. And even if they did satisfy us to a degree, in the end, death takes it all. Death is the great hope killer. But here is Jesus. He died, but now he is alive. He has conquered death. And in doing so, in conquering death, he has proven that his death on the cross for our sins worked. Death could not keep him down. Sins have been forgiven. He is risen. Sin has been crushed and death has been defeated. So we can put our trust and our hope in Jesus. He is a true hope for this whole world, a hope that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's my prayer that you might come and put your hope and trust in Jesus this Easter. I don't know if you've truly done that. Perhaps you haven't. If you haven't, then I want to encourage you. Come to Jesus and put your trust in him. And if you want to do that, then I want to lead you to pray. If you want to accept Jesus, then just pray this prayer with me in your heart and own this prayer for yourself and put your trust and hope in the risen Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his victory over sin and death. Thank you for the promise for all of us who put their trust in him that we will not perish, but we will have eternal life. We're sorry, God, for the way in which we've often ignored you. We're sorry, God, for the way in which we've often been proud and thought we could, you know, get through life in our own wisdom and strength. We're sorry for the way in which we haven't loved you. We're sorry for the way in which we haven't loved our neighbor as we ought, Lord. Now, please help us to change, Lord. We thank you for your grace. Thank you that Jesus has defeated sin on the cross and he's defeated death. And so, Lord, we put our trust in Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus. And we thank you that in him we have true hope. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.